Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Welcome to another week of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. I'm a day late, I know it, but late is better than never. And this week I've got a great episode with Dr. Matt Howell from Fort Mill, South Carolina. And Matt has a great story. And his story is basically, he was an associate at a practice owned by a DSO that was not performing the way the owners expected it to. He was in the middle of looking to purchase a practice to be his own boss, and then made the decision to go ahead and buy the location of the DSO that was slightly underperforming, and has managed to make it his own and double the business. And I consider that a win for the good guys of private practice. Just goes to show that it's not always as easy for DSOs as we think it is. So we're going to talk to Matt about that. But before we get there, I am going to read a review from iTunes, and it was left by Biz East, BIZZEAST. I hope he or she is listening to the podcast, and it's a 5-star review this week, and it says, T-Bone approaches dentistry as a business and cuts through the fluff that many speakers offer. He drills down to the nuts and bolts of treatment, insurance, patients, and staff. It's team. Team members. Through these podcasts, especially the interviews with other dentists, I have become more comfortable with dental sleep apnea therapy, CERAC, medical billing, and CBCT. As a matter of fact, these podcasts are indirectly responsible for my recent purchase of a CBCT. I met him at a recent Sirona 3D Summit in Rickenport. He is genuinely nice guy in person as well. He's not Ivory Tower, he's one of us. Get your morning drive-in gear with a podcast from T-Bone. Biz East, thank you so much for being a listener and for taking the time to leave such a great review. So we're going to go ahead and cut over to our episode with Dr. Matt Howell. And I do want to give you a heads up. We are slowly but surely working on our audio, and you'll notice that each podcast that we release, hopefully the audio is getting a little better each time until we get it exactly right. And just a heads up, the reason the audio isn't perfect is because I'm not recording these with traditional podcast gear. I'm recording them in my video studio that I built, and I'm being very stubborn about not wearing a headset, and that's why we're working through the audio quality in the studio. So enjoy this week, and I'll see you back next week. All right, welcome back. Today we're going to be talking with Dr. Matt Howell, Fort Mill, South Carolina, a 2015 graduate of the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill School of Dentistry. And Matt has been to 3D Dentists, what, two times now?
Three times.
Today's this is your third time. And today we were talking. So the first time I met you, you were an associate working at a group practice, but essentially running your own office is what you were telling me.
Yeah, it was a startup in probably middle of 2015, and they had a doctor before me, and I started in October of 15. Okay. And basically, it was just me, and the other doctor came over once a month to place implants.
Okay. So talk to me about this. How'd you end up there? Why'd you stick around so long? What was good? What was not so great? Whatever you're comfortable talking about with some of these things.
Well, the first job at a dental school was an emergency clinic. Okay. So I worked like 3 days on, 3 days off, got introduced to a lot of surgery. It was just me, but in that time off, I would go around to other offices.
Okay.
And
so you were invested in seeing your long-term success.
Yeah, I mean, at the first job was just a lot of extractions. You know, it wasn't a long-term thing, and that's how I met the second job.
Okay,
it was a doctor that was really big into like you, Sarac. Mm-hmm. He was doing implants. I think he'd taken your course.
Yeah, yes.
So it was good to to be able to learn from him. And so I just kind of picked his brain as much as I could. So he was a great resource.
What was your vision for yourself coming out of dental school?
Telling my own practice.
Okay.
Yeah, always.
So it's always your goal, but did you have a time period where you said, I need to associate, I want to associate, I want to do a GPR, AEGD? Or, why didn't you just open your own practice to begin with?
That's a good question. I know I didn't want to go to residency or anything like that. I think I was just ready to get to work. But I was planning on maybe 3 years at most before I could own my own practice.
Why 3 years? What's so magical about that number to you?
I just figured, maybe the first year just kind of maybe just get faster.
Okay.
And then maybe the second year move up to more procedures that you really weren't exposed to in dental school. And then I figured, maybe that last year gives me time to be patient and find the right practice.
Okay. So you have a long-term vision.
Yeah, I don't know if that was right or not. Years was just a number to kind of make up, okay. I guess.
And if something came along earlier, maybe you'd come earlier.
Yeah.
But did you have this thing like in 3 years I'm going to have a practice or else or?
No, I mean I didn't want to rush.
Okay.
I didn't want to be impatient and buy something just because, it was that 3 year time period.
Okay. Did you know where you wanted to live?
No, I actually. So at that practice, the second practice that I started working at, I met with the it was a dentist and a non-dentist owner. And I met with them probably in September of 2016 about buying in, and it just didn't make sense financially.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew from then on that's when I started to look.
Outside of that practice.
Yeah, and I wasn't expecting it to take so long. And I was actually looking in a coastal town, I was looking in a mountain town. And
so you were open to different places.
So I was looking at all three places, and I wasn't, I was thinking maybe by the summer of that following year that I was going to have something,
okay.
But it just, there was just, wasn't that much there.
All right, so let me ask you this. Did you have a type of practice you were looking for?
Yeah, so that's what was taking so long initially is I wanted a practice that had room for two doctors and I could buy the building.
And so you're really limiting your choices.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that at the time. But after 6 months, I was like, there's not a lot of practices for sale where you can buy the building. And if you can, it's like five operatories.
Right.
Yeah. So then I had to decide, okay, well, I'm probably just going to have to buy a practice that's leasing a space.
Okay. What about startup?
For me, I just didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Okay.
I mean,
it's harder and harder.
I just felt like, I don't know. I just didn't want to do that from cash flow perspective. I just felt like, it's just so much easier probably just to do an acquisition.
Okay. So today we were talking, I kept hearing this May 2018 thing with you. You kept talking about how I just kept getting this feeling that something happened to you in May 2018.
No, 2016.
Okay, May 2016.
So that's when I took your first course. I was about a year out of dental school, and I was paying down a lot of student loans. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we had that talk, and you...
What's that talk? You got to be the listener.
That talk of, like, what are you doing paying down? You know, you need to be saving your money. Mm-hmm. And then once I started to realize, okay, this is what it's going to take to buy a practice, well, you need to have some cash.
Right.
They don't, you know, as long as your credit's good, my credit's good, they don't care really how much your student loans are.
Uh-uh.
They just want to see that you can make it through a few, you know, payrolls or a few months. Mm-hmm. And pay the bills to get the bank loan.
So we were talking, if I remember correctly, or the philosophy that I was kind of going over with you guys is, I see a lot of people that are associates that are making good money, and they have this mindset, I want to pay down debt. And if you want to be a lifetime associate person, that's okay. But if you have aspirations of investing in other things, or aspirations of owning your own practice, or aspirations of building your brand new practice,
or doing dentistry that besides fillings,
besides base to traditional mm-hmm. associate dentistry, that you need money, mm-hmm. okay? And every dollar you put into paying off your debt is a dollar you can invest in your career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I hear too much of people saying, I gotta pay down debt. And quite frankly, I mean, I would tell you debt is not bad. Debt is okay. And as long as it cash flows properly, I'm not a big believer in paying off debt early at the expense of other things. If you have extra income, certainly paying off debt is part of an overall savings plan. But somebody at your age, it's absolutely, I mean, in my opinion, asinine a little bit to pay down debt with the goals that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you took that to heart.
Yeah, I mean, I started... I changed my student loan payment. I started, you know, saving money, and you know, it's probably four or five months later is when I met with them about. I thought I was ready. Thought I had enough money to buy in, and or buy a practice. And so, you know, from that point on, I was just saving money.
Okay. What I'm seeing more and more is that the younger dentists, or dentists in general, are doing less and less live CE. They're not going to CE. They're going to meetings, trade shows. They're not really educational events. They're kind of like, I don't even know what to call them. They're just there to fill in the hours. Yeah, to fill in the hours, yeah. Right? Or they're doing a lot of online stuff. But, you know, really, I don't want to say your life turned around, but, you know, something happened to you when you came to this our course here. And that's one of the benefits of going to classes, is that you get to meet other people. You get to talk to other people with other perspectives that can kind of plant seeds in your mind and really get you to, you know, think about life differently, or think about your career trajectory differently. And I just want people to hear that you got to do life, you got to do CE when you actually talk to human beings.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, seeing it, like, just little things, like, you know, the course of day, it's all those little things that, like, if you don't catch, it's gonna ruin your whole day. It's going to ruin your whole month. So just seeing
that. What are some examples of that?
I mean, with CEREC, I mean, you've seen it. Like, if you don't hit this button right or that button right, the first few months when you use it, you're mad at the machine,
right?
But it's all you. Right. The machine's great.
The machine
works. It's fine. You're the problem. It's little things that if you just don't, you know, if you don't catch on those things, that they're going to slow you down. And you know, for instance, what you said today, I don't know why I never did this, but when you get the try-in back, why would you not be you know, putting light body in there and making that the final, you know, the master cast?
Yeah, you should.
And you know, you put the try-in in, it doesn't fit. You got to tell the patient this is not how, you know, it's gonna, of course the real one's going to fit better.
You hope.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, it's little things like that that you just catch that you would never read in a book.
Okay.
I mean, little things, it seems like, of course, but you just don't catch it until you come to these things.
And then a lot of the learning also, I mean, certainly you learn during the day, I hope, right? And then a lot of it's also the social activities afterwards, you know, just talking to four or five different dentists and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you pick up on, you know, little things with the business, with the marketing that, you know, not every practice is the same, but there's a lot of, you can pull from everybody's practice that little things that may work in yours.
Yeah. See, what I've always done is you go out and learn. And then you don't do exactly what other people are doing, because as you said, every practice is different, every personality is different, every culture is different, right? But what you do is you go and learn the best of what people are doing, and you make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you massage it, you adjust it, and you're like, okay, I mean, I can't do that, some of those things, but I can do this, and I can make this part of what I do. And to me, that's always been a very component of being successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever see...
Are you confused by all the implant messaging out there? Are you worried about which implant to choose, what kit to choose, what tie base to use, when to use what, when to send it to the lab, when to mill with your CEREC machine, when to print guides, when to mill guides, when all of these things happen? You're not alone. It's getting noisier and noisier out there today. And what you need is a simple solution with a consistent workflow that simply works. At 3D Dentists, we teach how to do digital implant dentistry, leveraging your CEREC technology and leveraging your cone beam technology in a proven workflow that is efficient, predictable, and profitable. You owe it to yourself to take one of our workshops by visiting 3D Dentists at www.3d-dentist.com and learn more about what we're teaching. I look forward to seeing you at one of our workshops. Now, let's get back to the show.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, Kyle, we graduated together. We actually worked for the same person. Mm-hmm. And so we learned a lot, you know, we learned a lot from him before we bought our own practices. But it's just good to, you know, every CE that I've taken, it's paid off. It's mm-hmm. paid off financially, and it's paid off because I'm actually doing, you know, I'm doing more high-end stuff. I'm not just doing fillings every day.
Right. And it's not just about the high-end stuff. It's just stuff you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's also about satisfaction. Like, you know, why in the world? I mean, if you love fillings, you love fillings. That's great. I mean, there's something nice about doing something that's pretty easy, to be quite honest with you. So what about with Kyle when he bought his practice? How did that make you feel?
Well, to be honest, I think I was responsible for him buying it. So, like I was telling you, I wasn't expecting it to take so long for me to buy it. But I started telling him, I see this, I see that. You know, we started going through all the pro formas. And he found a practice way before I did. Mm-hmm. And so that just...
Well, he wasn't as picky as you, maybe.
Yeah, I guess. But in a way, it almost messed me up. Because if I thought back on that practice that I was going to buy in the mountain town... It almost came as a result of like me so ready to get out of the situation I was in.
You were losing patience.
Yeah, I was losing patience. And you know, if that's one thing, is just you just got to be patient.
You got to stick to your guns, right? You got to have a clear vision of what you want to be. And you got to give it enough time before you give up on, okay, maybe my vision's crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know? So did Kyle help you make that decision or transition, or his experience and his practice help you that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that initial, you know, that when you first own the business, all the administrative stuff, you know, all the stuff with the CPAs and the HR stuff. So it was good for him to have somebody to kind of like, oh, what'd you do here? What'd you do there? Yeah, I mean, so that definitely helped.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the practice now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you bought a practice that had been, I wouldn't use the word in decline, but had a few struggles, okay?
We had a couple of bad quarters.
Yeah, okay, well, that's not in decline to me. In decline is an over a year thing, over several years thing, okay? So you had a couple of bad quarters. I mean, you're the dentist there, you might even have fault.
You're right. I mean, my heart wasn't into it in 2017.
Right, because you have one foot out the door.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, so you're definitely right on that.
Yeah, So you bought the practice, now it's yours,
mm-hmm.
okay, you got a loan to pay, you got mm-hmm. all that stuff, you got a career that you want to create, so now you got both feet in,
mm-hmm.
okay. What have you done and what's been successful to, I don't use the word turn it around, but make it kind of reinvigorate things?
I think me working in it, I saw the goods and I saw the bads. And this is a practice that, I mean, it was, you know, should have been collecting, you know, close to $2 million, but it was only collecting, you know, more towards a million, or 1.25, 1.3.
Which is, by the way, not unsuccessful.
Yeah, but you think about all that collection that you did the work, but the inefficiencies in, you know, the systems of collecting the money and
other people like running the systems. It's not the systems always.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the people running the systems that that let us fail.
Yeah. So I think just trying to get a grasp on AR, just trying to make sure that, you know, you're going through all the accounts, you're making sure, and this is a practice that it's 70% cash, 30% insurance.
Okay.
But, you know.
And I'd die for a practice like that.
But, we learn from you. I mean, we do in-house payment plans. Mm-hmm. You know, we do some of the outside financing. And my practice base isn't, you know, they're not the wealthiest of people. So, you know, to get them to do some of the bigger treatments, you really have to break it down into like a car payment.
Right.
You have to break it down into, you know, a monthly amount rather than that grand total. So I think that's probably helped. I think slowing down to speed up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I always told the old owners that it was just me basically running out of 9 rooms that, like, I'm never gonna be able to get the bigger treatment if the patient feels like I'm rushing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always rushing because I was one doctor seeing anywhere from 120 to 150 new patients a month on top of having 3 hygienists. So, you know,
and your restorative work.
Yeah. So I have 3 assistants. So I have two columns of production and then a whole nother column of new patient exams. So probably the other biggest thing, at least in my practice, was I brought an associate on.
Okay.
And, you know, while my personal production dropped, the overall flow of the office has just been, it's been so much better. It's been, I mean, everything flows. There's nobody waiting. You know, I push a lot of, like, anybody that calls and they need to come in for an emergency, we don't turn anybody away. So, because, you know, when you have CERAC, you see a limited, they break a tooth, boom,
it's
a crown, right?
It's an hour.
Yeah, it's easy.
In between, I mean, it's 20-minute prep, your assistants can do things.
So, I mean, just being able to never turn somebody away when they call for, you know, for emergencies, having another doctor.
Usually
there.
Emergencies are ripping off crowns, man. That's good production.
Mm-hmm. This week I had a patient come in Tuesday. Him and his fiance, they're getting married Saturday, and he wanted to come in for a flipper.
Yeah.
And Thursday before I came up here, we did root canal, post, and crown on number 7.
Yeah.
He's good.
It's 2 grand, man.
Yeah. So, I mean.
A couple of things.
All right.
What would you tell somebody that's timid, that has a dream of owning their own business, that hasn't done it yet, what would you tell them?
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Don't worry about the debt so much. Save. You need to have some, you know, you need to have that cash flow. You need to save. And you need to be patient, but, you know, you can, what is it? Paralysis by analysis.
Yeah.
At some point you got to pull the trigger.
And you got to jump off the cliff.
Yeah.
At some point. There's no perfect situation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's definitely no perfect situation. And I feel like you're always going to be better owning the practice than working for somebody. I mean, it's just so many more benefits to owning the practice. I know that
if you have the mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have the mindset. I don't disagree with you. I'm an entrepreneur by heart, right? I'm a capitalist by heart. I just think that a lot of people that are better off being employees because they don't have the mindset to drive the growth.
I think you need to think about what you want. I mean, I told you I'm into photography, and I was worried at first about, if I become an owner, am I going to be so tied to the business that I'm not going to be able to, do a few, a few of the trips. But it's really enabled me to not only do those things, but it's enabled me to take more CE, like at your place. It's giving me so much more freedom.
But those are things about creating the priority, not losing sight of the big picture along the way. Since you talk about our CE, let's bring that up. Let's do a quick commercial, if you don't mind. What's been valuable for you here? How'd you get here to begin with?
I guess the other thing is, so I got dropped right out of school. I told you that the second job was in a CEREC practice.
Right.
And UNC, we didn't get that experience. So, getting dropped into that, and that's where I ended up first meeting you, was right. Taking the maximum CEREC course.
Right.
And, I lived on CEREC doctors for a while. But like actually, when you actually come and there's just little things that you just can't get online.
Yeah. Excitement.
Yeah, I mean, and for you, what I like about your courses is you're still a practicing dentist. Yeah. You're still worried about profit margins and efficiency and stuff like that, because that stuff matters.
You're damn right, it matters. Yeah. At the end of the day, I can't afford these things without it.
So, coming to Live CE, you're using the same stuff. It's the little things that you pick up at these courses that, they make all the difference.
What made you come back the second time?
One, you're close,
okay.
Right?
Makes it easy. I appreciate that.
The food's always good at lunch.
You didn't mention dinner.
No, but I tell you one thing that matters is it's the little touches. Like, I remember the first course, you sent me a card.
Yeah.
And you signed a handwritten card, and that stuff, that I use that for my practice when I had big cases and stuff like that. Little things, little touches like that, they carry over. Yeah. They matter.
And what'd you come back the third time for? That's this time.
Yeah, that's this time. I still haven't done sleep, and it's on the list of stuff to do.
But I don't push things, do I?
No.
When you're here, I don't push you got to take another class. I just don't, like, when people are ready, it's like we were talking about with Paul Pollard's book, right? Just with patience. You tell people, listen, these are the things that exist. When you're ready, we're ready. Mm-hmm. If we're not the right fit for you, I tell my patients, I'll help you find a good dentist. It's the same thing here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you always learn something when you come here.
Yeah, that's good. And the food's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's entertaining.
Uh-huh, definitely.
My team's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They all came out tonight.
Yeah, I wonder why.
it's the dancing dentist.
Yeah,
we had a celebrity.
Yeah, I thought I was a celebrity, and here I am not.
He's got you beat.
Oh, by far. Yeah, he's actually a nice guy, man. He's quite humble, actually.
He's much quieter than I thought he was going
to
be.
Yeah, sure. I wasn't expecting that either. When the first time I went to visit him in his practice, I expected somebody more gregarious, a little bit more like me, and he was pretty quiet and laid back and reserved, and he's nice. I think his wife's a little bit more of a go-getter.
If you're confused about how to grow your practice, then you need to hear the rest of this message. Listen. The ways of the 1980s and the 1990s simply do not work anymore. You have to be different. And the way to be different in today's competitive environment is not doing more of the same thing that everybody else is doing, but adding new services to your practice. If you're looking for a solution that's logical, practical, and full of business tips to how to implement strategies into your practice to add new services, then you need to look at my company, 3D Dentists. We provide fantastic training that will help you grow your practice by adding new services to your existing patient base. If you want to learn more, all you got to do is visit www.3d-dentists.com and look around and see what's right for you. If you have any questions, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me. Now let's get back to our show.
mind if I ask you a couple questions?
Yeah, absolutely, I'd love that.
So when you purchased, you know, when you first started out, you know, the first year, do you remember what the first year was like?
I remember.
Did you have goals set out? Did you have, you know,
I didn't have, like, I didn't have written goals at the time. You know, honestly, my goal for the first year was, okay, my number one goal is survival. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then my other goals I had were just completely unrealistic. I mean, I was like, I'm going to be doing a million. I mean, at that time, I was going to be doing $1 million. I'm all fee for service, cash only. I'm only going to do ideal dentistry, nothing else. If somebody, you know, asks me for a discount, I'm going to be like, go away. I'm just going to be this thing. And I fell flat on my face year one. That year was the most important thing that happened to me in my career. Failing. You know, we always talk about the successes. Like today, what were the most things I talked about? I talked about my failed cases. Mm-hmm. You know, I just point them out. Like, what did I do wrong here? What did we do wrong there? What can we learn? I mean, I stuck on that one case that we sucked at for so long today. And, you know, failing my first year was so important to me because it got me on the right track. It humbled me. Okay. It made me focus on what's important, which is number one, I can't do great things if I don't survive at the beginning. So got to do what it takes to survive. And so year one was very, very important for me. I mean, unbelievably important to almost fail, to almost go bankrupt. Year one, that was unbelievably important for me.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories, you're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
So how long before, I imagine you didn't have a Cerac and the cone beam initially when you started.
No, I started my practice in 2001. I bought Cerac in 2003. I gave it back.
Is that the green can?
No, it was a red can. Red can.
Like brown can?
Yeah, I gave it back 3 months later. Uh-huh. I bought it again about a year later. So it was the exact same machine. It's still red can. Nothing had changed. I bought it again another year later, and I've never looked back. So it took me a solid 3 years before I implemented any major technology into my practice. I mean, I had a Panorex, I had a camera, I had some of those basic things. We had digital sensors. Again, all what I consider basic things. But I didn't implement technology for 3 years. Quite frankly, I didn't have the patient base to do the dentistry on. I started from scratch. And I didn't have my first hygienist, full-time hygienist, until about year three. And that's when I implemented technology. And
so I think...
Cone beam came in 2008.
Okay. So I think, you know, probably the hardest thing when you do these CEs is, like, doing the procedures seems like the easiest part. Mm-hmm. When you go back home. The hardest part is, like, you know, getting paid for it, doing the billing, doing, you know, creating, you know, how to get it to where you can actually do the stuff.
I would argue that's not the hardest part. The hardest part is to get the patients. You know, I don't see a lot of people your age taking CEs.
I regret that first year not taking more. you know, the next year I took some, but even then, like, I took a lot this year. I probably took $25,000 worth of CE this year, and I don't think that was enough.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it was 25 good thousand.
But yeah. I think you know, like 15 of it was my implant training.
I need to get a little bit more of your CE money, man.
Yeah. fifteen of that was the implant training, and it's just paid off. It's just, you start to, you know, I think we talked about it at that, the implant class was, you go from being, trying to do hero dentistry that never pays off in the end. It may work for a few months, it may work for a few years, and as much as you try to tell the patient, like, you know,
I told you this was going to happen.
Yeah, it's still on you. And then when you get to some of this stuff that's possible that, you know, that you would never learn if you didn't take CE, it just opens your eyes up to what's possible.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest
thing. Have you taken your team to a lot of CE?
I took my assistant to my implant stuff, to mm-hmm. my implant training out in Arizona.
For the live patient part of it.
Yeah. I'm hoping to do your sleep course next, and I'm going to bring probably two front office and two of my assistants.
Mm-hmm. I'll bring your hygienist. Bring one hygienist.
I was thinking that really what I was planning on doing is both my hygienists, their husbands, I know they need it. I know they need mm-hmm. appliance.
I would leave one of your front office at home and bring one of your hygienists.
Okay. All
right. I'll be honest with you. I think you should just, man, this is better, worse for me, but I think you should just bring one clinical team member, one hygiene team member, one front office team member. I think that's all you need.
I think that people, you know, when you start nitpicking the numbers, but think about what we paid for dental school.
Mm-hmm.
And think about
$400,000.
And think about how much of that was, I don't want to say a waste, but it was a waste, a lot of it. I mean, we could have probably condensed it.
What are you doing that you did learn in dental school at this point?
I mean,
you know, dental school education gets you 6 months out of school. After that, you're like, I've got it.
Yeah. So we spent all that money for you know, for half of it was nothing to do with dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now it's like you can pick the CE that's hands-on, and it matters so much more when you can take that CE. And I mean, when you think about how much we spent for dental school, this stuff actually pays off.
Have you taken bad CE? It's impossible that you haven't.
Yeah, it was a pharmacology course.
What the hell were you doing taking that?
I don't know. I think it was that first year. That one was pretty bad. I took a sleep medicine course from like the American Academy of it was
American Academy of Boring Sleep.
Yeah, it felt like, you know, we were in dental school again.
And that is that why people don't take more sleep education? I think because unfortunately that's a lot of what's out there.
I'll tell you this. I've taken I don't know if I'd call it bad. It was bad. See, it was a waste of money. I can do. I took a probably like a $3,000. Botox dermal mm-hmm. filler course, so I can do that. It just, you know, once I got back to the practice and I started to, you know, I would say you need to do the business math before you take the CE.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, once I got back home and I was like, I'm so busy with dentistry that, you know, when you're doing that stuff, you're not really, it's not as profitable as the actual dentistry.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know that those are the patients that you want to. It's tough, you know.
Yeah. Well, you're competing with plastic surgeons, dermatologists, and metasthenics.
So I wasted money on that.
I snickered at what you said. You know, my dad has been unbelievably, my parents have been unbelievably influential in my life. My dad more so than anybody else. When I was taking all the CE that I talked about with Larry Rosenthal, with Ross, with LVI, with Spear, all this stuff, every once in a while my dad would be like, so where are the patients at? That all this fancy, all this money you're spending at, where are the old patients? And it kind of, when you said you got to do the business math before you take the, you know, before you take the classes, it reminded me of what you said to me.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing that I remember, you know, we're going to have to chop this up a little bit, but we talked about the homily book.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that. Where'd you hear about it, and what have you gained from it?
It was that first course with you. You told me to get that book and to also buy the audio book.
It was free.
And listen to it, you know, maybe listen to it once a year just to refresh you. And I think the biggest part of that book is it puts you in the patient's shoes, and that you need to be more empathetic, and you need to realize that while you may be ready to do the treatment that you're presenting, you know, everybody's at a different stage in their life, and you have to be patient, and you just have to let them know that that you're there when they're ready. And I kind of think of it as like, you know, watering a flower. Mm-hmm. Is you just gotta, you know, maybe at 6 months, you know, you just kind of let them know, hey, if you still want to, you know, if you're still thinking about that, you know, we're ready. And at some point, you know, you never know when, but I have patients now. So I'm 3 years in. I have patients coming to me now with, you know, they've heard about it, they've saved, they were told at the beginning, and now they're ready.
Yeah. You heard it with today's patient. It took her 6 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, in fact, what you heard was she saw my marketing. She waited 9 months to do anything about the marketing. And then she came in for the consult and it took another 6 months before she made a decision. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a 15-month cycle on that, right? And so that's a great example of that. I got to be honest with you, Matt. I'm so glad you did this today.
I'm glad because the next time I come to the course, I don't have to get peer pressured into it.
Well, I think it's going to be worse next time. But I want to give you an unbelievable compliment, okay? You picked up from Paul's book what I wish more people would pick up. You know, it's most people read that and they're just confused. They don't get it. They don't feel like that's hokey pokey stuff. And you're picking up what the most valuable parts of that are. And a favor you can do for me, you can do me two favors. One, you can help other people come to our classes because I think we can help people. But number two, you need to pass that book on. It's a $12 book on Amazon, man. Yeah. And the audio is free. Just go to his website, paulhomily.com, give him your email address, and he'll send you the audio for free. If not, you can buy it for $5. And I want you to pass that on to more people because I think more people need that. And more people need to develop the practice of their dreams, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. If it's doing amalgams, do amalgams. If it's doing all fillings, do all fillings. You know, if it's doing dentures, God bless you, do dentures. You know, if it's seeing kids, God bless you even more, see kids. You know, but that's what dentistry is about. It affords us that opportunity to do things our way, mm-hmm. and very few professions give us that opportunity. How can people get in touch with you, Matt?
They can email me at howellm4@gmail.com.
At least you have a Gmail and not an AOL address.
Well, I don't want to give them the business thing. I get blown up with that. That's the worst part about buying the business is all these phone calls you get now.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
That you didn't have to deal with before.
I should have got like a Google number.
You should have.
Yeah, that's a recommendation. Get a fake number to put on all that
stuff. That's what I give all the women that bother me. I give them a fake number.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
What I do when I meet women, I just give my wife's number. I'm like, if you can call her and get permission, we're good.
Awesome.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.